Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Chaf Beis. We left off in daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amin Beis. We are 2 lines from the bottom of the page in Kuf Chaf Aleph Amin Beis. Just one quick point from yesterday. The Gemara mentioned as we were rushing through the end of the daf yesterday that Mikan Ve'elach, after Tu Ba'av, where the primary discussion of our Gemara yesterday was about Tu Ba'av, we said after Tu Ba'av, the Mosif Yosef, She'enu Mosif Yosef. That someone who's Mosif, which Rashbam said, from Tu B'Av and on, where there are longer nights, so someone who's Mosif in his Talmud Torah at night as well, so then Yosef, then he's going to have a longer life than Shnos Chaim V'Sholom Yosifulach. Ki Orech Yomim Shnos Chaim V'Sholom Yosifulach. He's going to be added extra Arichas Yomim, so it's going to be wonderful for him. The Marsha just points out that the Gemara in Erev in Daf Samachay says that Halayla Lo Nivra Elu L'Shena, that Laila was created for sleep, which makes it sound like it's not a particularly opportune time to be learning. Learning should be done during the daytime primarily, and not so much at night. Nighttime is meant for sleeping. So the Marsha answers two things. First of all, based on what Tosa says, that the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara in Erevin is talking about Leilei Tammuz. That from Leilei Tammuz, when the nights are particularly short, so then nighttime should be spent entirely sleeping. But from Tu B'Av and on, where the day is short and the night is long, so what are you going to do? You're going to sleep 14 hours a night? That's crazy. So a person should spend a lot of time during the nighttime learning. The second Teretz Marsha says is that no, the Gemaras aren't arguing. The Ikur Limud a person does should be during the daytime. Like the Gemara in Erevin says, they asked Rabbi Zera, how come his learning is so mechudad? How come he's so fluent in his learning? Why he's so much sharper in his learning and more fluent in his learning than most of the other Talmidei Chachamim? And he said, because he was involved in Talmud Torah during the daytime. Limud Belaila, after Tu B'Av, is only to be to lemalos, is only to fill in that which we missed during the shorter day. But primarily, the main seder that a person should have should be during the daytime. So an early morning daf yomi is perfect. So anyway, says the Gemara, now we are 2 lines from the bottom on daf kuf chaf aleph amud beis. We're talking about the chalukas ha'aretz. So frak the Gemara ibayilhu. Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim iflug o dilma l'karkav gavri iflug. The way that Rashbam understands this question is the question is asking, the Gemara is asking, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, did they first divide it into 12 equal portions based on 12 shvatim, and then within each shevet divided up from there, but the 12 portions were equal, and therefore if you have a shevet that had more people in it, each person in that shevet got a smaller portion, and a shevet that had fewer people in it, each person in that shevet got a larger portion? Or maybe no. Maybe the Karkov Gavri Iflug, it was divided up amongst people. It was divided up based on the every person getting pretty much the same size. Every person get, and therefore Shvatim with larger populations overall received a larger portion because they had to accommodate their population. And again, population might mean the population of the Shevet Kiyotzi Mitzrayim. Or it might mean the population of the Shevet Kibayi Haaretz, depending on who you hold like in that machlokas. But that's the Shiloh over here. That's the Pasha Pshat. That's what the Rashbam says. We're going to see the maskana of the Gemara is going to be that Lefi Shvatim Iflug, that it was divided up, each Shevet getting an equal portion, and therefore, by definition, each person not getting an equal portion. If you were unfortunate enough to be in a more populated Shevet, then you're going to get a smaller portion. However, and that's how we're been. Gershom, the Yad Ramah, the Ramban, Ala Torah, that's how they all say. However, Rashi Ala Torah, interestingly, Rashi in Bamidbar Perchavav, Pasuk Nun Dalid, writes that a Shevet that has more people gets a larger portion because of Nashav Merubim, because it's more heavily populated. And the Ramban asks that Rashi is against our Gemara, because our Gemara raises that as a possibility, right? It raises the possibility that Lefi Anash of the Kark of Gavri, that every individual gets the same size, and therefore a Shevet that has more people gets a larger portion, but the Gemara rejects that. The Maskan of the Gemara is going to be not that way. So the Ramban al-Torah says that Rashi is against our Gemara. Our Gemara is poshet this suffik in the other direction. So the Shita Mekubet says, quotes in the name of the Ravid, that a shevet that's meruba, a shevet that has that's more populated, natal yosef, takes more. And the Shidum Betzes asks on the Ravid, from here. Same kasha that the Ramban asks on Rashi, that it's against our Gemara. So the Shita Mukbetas is mitarets that the suffix of the Gemara is not what the Rashbam says. It's not whether each shevet was given an equal portion and then it was divided from there, or whether each individual was given an equal portion. No, the suffix of the Gemara is regarding the Goral. If the Chalukal Shvatim was Alpi Goral, but the Chalukal Mishpachos did not require a Goral, or whether the Goral was also in the Chalukal Mishpachos. Was the Goral something limited to the Shvatim on the communal level? But when it comes to dividing land between individuals, there was no Goral, that they worked out without a Goral? Or was the Goral even on the Mishpachos? So when the Gemara's Maskana is that it was Neschalkal Shvatim, and Mele the Chalukal, that means that it was Neschalkal Shvatim Al Yidei Goral. And what that means is that the Chalukal Mishpachos was not done Al Yidei Goral. So that's how the Miyashev the Ravid, that's how the Shudim Glatz is Miyashev the Ravid, and Mistama, that's how it could be Miyashev Rashi as well, Rashi Al Torah as well. So anyway, so that's the Shal of the Gemara, but again, let's assume like the Pashup Shal, like the standard Pshat. How is Eretz Yisrael divided? Was divided in 12 equal portions, or was it divided? Or was it divided amongst the individuals in equal portions? So Tashma, top of Kuf Chav Bezom, and Aleph Tashma says the Gemara, let's bring a Raya. Bein Rav L'ma'at. The Pasuk says Bein Rav L'ma'at. Now the whole idea of Bein Rav L'ma'at, as Rashbam points out, Al Pi Agoral Tuchalik Aretz Nachlasan Shalishol Shikach Chol Shevet Vishev Mashitin Lo Agoral Bein Shia Magia Lo Chelik Meruba Gon Shevet Shiesh Ba Anashim Ma'at Bein Shai Lo Chelik Mu'at Gon Shiesh Lo Anashim Harbei. Whether you're going to get a smaller portion in land because you're in a shevet that has a lot of people, or you're going to get a larger portion because you're in a shevet that has fewer people. So you see that each shevet gets the same amount of land, and it's just that, depending on the population of the shevet, you're going to get a larger or smaller amount. But the point is that we do see that it was Neschalkel Shvatim, the fact that it says Bein Rav Lema'at, that individuals are going to have smaller and larger pieces of land. Va'od Tanya, plus we have a Brisa, and this Brisa is going to carry us down for the next 15 lines or so, but by the end of the Brisa we'll see what the point is, and there will be a lot of side points, obviously. Va'od Tanya, we have another Brisa that tells us as follows, Asida Eretz Yisrael Shetischalik L'Shloshos Shvatim, that ultimately Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided up into 13 Shvatim. Shebetchilu Lo Neschalka L'Shneimos Shvatim. Initially, Eretz Yisrael was only divided up into 12 Shvatim. V'lo Neschalka Ela B'Kesef, and it was divided up by money. We're going to explain what that means, because right now we're not supposed to understand what that means. What do you mean it was divided up by money? They paid each other off to decide which portion. I thought it was by a goral. Shenamar ben rav l'ma'at, because the pasuk says ben rav l'ma'at. Again, we're going to see what that means. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Rashbam points out, whenever you have Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rashbam says, Garsinon Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'lo balachlok, midlok than Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Right? He's not coming to disagree. That's generally the rule. When the Amar comes before the name, that he's coming to just add a detail, but not to disagree with anything that was said previously. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Sa'ab Yehuda shava chamesh se'in b'galil. One sa'ab of land in Yehuda is equal to five se'in in Galil, meaning not every piece of land has equal value. There's Idis, there's Beinis, there's Ziburis. V'lo neschalka el b'goral, and was only divided by a goral. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Ach begoral, v'lo neschalka el b'urim v'tumim, and was also only divided using the urim v'tumim. Shenamar al piagoral. Haketzad, what's the question haketzad? The question is, we just said two things that contradict each other. First we said the way the division was decided was based on a goral, and then we said the way the division was decided was based on the urim v'tumim. Well, which is it? Was it based on the goral, or is it based on the urim v'tumim? So the Gemara is going to say both. Elazar melubash urim v'tumim. Here's how it worked. Elazar would wear the urim v'tumim. V'yoshua v'kal Yisrael amdim lefanav. Yoshua and all of Klal Yisrael stood in front of him. V'kalpi shal shvatim v'kalpi shal tchumin munachim lefanav. And he had a box or a bowl that had the names of each of the shvatim, as well as another box or bowl that had the names of each of the tchumin, of each of the portions, put right in front of him, placed right in front of him. V'hayi mechavin ruach hakodesh, and he was mechavin ruach hakodesh v'omer, and he would say as follows: Zvulun Ola, Zvulun is going to be the first name I pick out. Tchumacha Ola Imo, and the tchum achel is going to come up with zvulun. You're going to see when I pick out which tchum, which portion zvulun is going to get. It's going to be tchum achel that comes up with him. Taref bekalpi shel shvatim va'ol biyadu zvulun. So he goes and he grabs a name from the shvatim box, and what does he come up with? Zvulun. Taref bekalpi shel tchumen va'ol biyadu tchum achel. And he goes and grabs from the tchumen box and he pulls up achel. So the urim v'tumim predicts in advance what the Goral is going to do. So how is it Haketzah that it's divided by the Urim V'Tumim and that it's divided by the Goral? Both. The Urim V'Tumim would predict in advance exactly what the Goral was going to turn out. The Chozer Mechavin Baruch HaKodesh, and then he would go Vaiter Baruch HaKodesh V'Omer, and he would say Naftali Ola. Naftali is going to come up. Based on the Urim V'Tumim would say that Naftali is going to come up. Utchum Ginosar Olimo, and Tchum Ginosar is going to come up. Right, Ginosar should sound familiar to us. The Peros Ginosar were the most delicious fruits in the world. Right, the Gemara in Pesachim asks, in fact, Mebrema, why is it that the Peros Ginosar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to have the most delicious fruits in the world? Why doesn't he put them in Yerushalayim? Why, you would think Yerushalayim would be the most the greatest place to visit, and you would want to have the Peros Ginosar there. So the Gemara says something unbelievable. The Gemara Pesachim says that if the Peros Ginosar were in Yerushalayim, then when people would visit Yerushalayim, they would come for the Peros Ginosar. And we want people to visit Yerushalayim for the Ruchnius. People shouldn't be visiting Yerushalayim for the Gashmius. Right? Nowadays it's hard to sometimes be Mechalik, but when you visit Yerushalayim, the Iker should always be the Ruchnius. The Iker should not be the Gashmius. So anyway, so the Tchum Ginosar Elimo, Tarf Bekalpi Shal Shvatim, V'Ala Biyadu Naftali. So again, he would then grab into the box of the Shvatim, shake it up, and take a name, and sure enough, Naftali comes out. Tarf Bekalpi Shal Tchumin, V'Ala Biyadu Tchum Ginosar, V'Chein Kol Shevet V'Shevet. And that's how it worked with each and every Shevet. A couple of quick points before we go weiter in the Brisa. We say Kalpi Shal Shvatim, says Rashbam on the first very wide line, Argus Shemunachim Bo Yud Beis Psakim. They would have 12 little pieces of paper, right? Shekas Ben Yud Beis Shvatim, a petak with names of each shevet on it. V'kalpi Shal Tchum and Argus Shemunachim Bo Yud Beis Psakim Shal Yud Beis Chalakim Shal Eretz Yisrael. Right, wonderful. So they had 12 names, and that makes perfect sense because there are 12 shvatim. Asks Rashash, doesn't make perfect sense. Ruvain, Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe. They already got their chilek and they've already yardin. Why are there 12 psak and there should be 10? So maybe you're going to say, okay, so say not like the Rashbam, that they had 10 even pieces of land in Eretz Yisrael for the other 9.5 tribes and 10 names in the box. Maybe you're going to say like that? Frak the Rashash, still doesn't make sense. 10 even pieces of land? Half of Menashe already got a piece of land on the other side. So what are you going to have 10 even pieces of land? They couldn't have divided up into 10 even pieces of land. So he doesn't understand the whole process over here. They must have had, he doesn't suggest an answer, but they must have had reflected the different sizes of land, and thus maybe that was part of it, that it was actually going to come up in the Goral to divide the two and a half tribes got also, to reinforce what they got also on the other side. Maybe that was also part of the division. I don't know, but the Rashash does not give an answer. So it's a very stark akasha. Also, the Gemara had said, the Braisa had said, that when they did this Goral and the Urim V'Tumim, what was the first Shevet that came up? So I would say, I don't know, Ruvain? I think something like that, or maybe Yosef, because he was the oldest of Rachel, or something, I don't know. What does it come up with first? Zvulun. Zvulun is the first what? Right? Well, what's the Seder of having Zvulun first? So Rashbam says, about the sixth very wide line of Rashbam, Va'omer Zvulun Ola, Achshav Yavol Lidei HaTorah, Bekalpi Ksav Shel Zvulun, V'haydin Aktinu Shaloka Seder, the reason it seems totally out of order, L'fi She'ein Ola Shum Goral Ala Seder Ala Lidei Mikra. That the point is, it shouldn't look like it was rigged. That the Goral should appear to be somewhat random, not totally random, that's why it was confirmed by the Urim V'Tumim, it was pre-confirmed by the Urim V'Tumim, right? It was predicted by the Urim V'Tumim to let it be known that it wasn't completely random, that it was actually the Ratzon Hashem that it be this way, but still it shouldn't appear that it was rigged to go, that anyone was favored. So random names, meaning the Rashbam says, Zvulun is about as random as you can get, and that's why Zvulun comes up first. Tosfos Ritz says, no, It can't be that it's random. There has to be some meaning to having Zvulun first. So he says, Chilek Zvulun was Bimar of Eretz Yisrael. Samach La'acha was on the western border of Eretz Yisrael, right? By the port. And he says, Yam Ginosar is Bimizracho Shel Eretz Yisrael. Ginosar is on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. So what it first picks is the eastern border, the western border, right? The two edges. And then everything in between. So that's the Seder, that we have Zvulun, then we have Naphtali, and then we fill in everybody else that comes up in between. Says the Brice of Viter, and again, we still didn't get to our point. Our point is supposed to be whether it's Lishvata. I mean, we sort of did, but the Gemara didn't express it yet. The Brice already got to it, but we're going to see. The point is supposed to be that this Brice is supposed to shed light on whether it was Lishvatim Nischalka or Karkov Gavri Iflug, right? So we're going to see. So says the Brice of Vaita, though, V'loka Chaluka Shalom Azeh, Chaluka Shalom Abba. Chaluka in this world is not like Chaluka in the next world. In this world, if a person has a grain field, so he's not going to have an orchard. If he has an orchard, he doesn't have fields of grain. It's different types of fields, different expertise. People don't have, they don't diversify in that way. L'olam haba, ein lecha kalecha vecha shein lebahar b'shvele ba'amak, il be'emek. But in olam haba, you're going to have high plains and low plains and valleys, and you're going to have all different types of lands. Shenemar, shar Ruvein echad, shar Yehud echad, shar Levi echad, meaning that they were all somewhat identical to each other, and that each of them had a diversified portfolio of real estate. That they each had some valleys, some mountains, some, everyone had a little bit of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalik lehen ba'atzmo shnemer ve'ilim ha'chasam nu'um Hashem. Fine, that's the end of the brisa. Just on that last point, that the difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba is that in Olam Hazeh, people don't have different types of land. Frek Tosfos, Tema. It says beferish not that way in Babakama. It says in Babakama that when we divide up Eretz Yisrael, everyone has a little bit of everything. So Frekta says to us two possible answers. Umiu istagar is enlicha shevet v'shevet miYisrael, aval hacha garsin enlicha echad miYisrael olam haba. Umashmal shar ruvein echad haynu lekol echad ve'echad. Maybe in Babakama we're saying each shevet has a little bit of mountainous region, a little bit of plains, a little bit of valleys. But over here we're saying each individual within each Shevet also has different types of land, and that's what's unique. And when we say L'Ruvein Echad, we mean each member of Reuven gets different types of land. That's one possibility. Inami, second answer, Bolam Hazeh Inlam B'Shava Mizeh, Kama Mizeh, Ala Mizeh Ma'atu Mizeh Harbei, Ava Olam Ba, Yeshul Min HaKol Shir Shava. Yes, you may have in Olam Hazeh someone who owns a lot of mountainous region and also a little bit of a valley, or a little bit of a plain. But his primary real estate holdings are usually in one area. He's going to dabble a little bit in other types of real estate holdings. In Olam Haba, it's going to be divided evenly. Mm-hmm. He's going to have an even amount of mountainous region, of plain, etc. That's the Chiddush of Olam Haba. What is Olam Haba? I thought Olam Haba is an Olam HaNeshamos. So what are we talking about with Olam Haba? Where there's land in Olam Haba? So the Yad Ramah says Olam Haba over here refers to Yemos HaMashiach. The Yemos HaMashiach is over here, and it's going to be clear in the Brisa that way, or in the Gemara's analysis of the Brisa, that it refers to Yemos HaMashiach, right? And the Rambam writes, in the very end of the Mishnah Torah, the very last chapter of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh, he's quoting a Chazal, he's quoting a Gemara, that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yemos HaMashiach al Shibur Malchios Bulvad. In Yemos HaMashiach, things do not change. The way nature works is not going to change. The only difference between now and Yemos HaMashiach is going to be Shibur Malchios, that no one's going to be persecuting us, we're going to be independent, we're going to have we're going to have full control over its soul, no one's going to be fighting us for it, right? There's not going to be any of those sorts of political war problems. But in terms of the working the land in order to get fruit and things like that, that's all still going to be there. The Rambam writes, that's what the pasuk says. When the pasuk says "v'gar ze'evim keves," he says you should understand all such psukim that say things like that, like in Yeshayahu, where it says that the wolf and the lamb are going to sleep together, are going to lie together, and no one's going to bother anybody, that's only derech mashal l'chida, the Rambam says. It's a mashal that the wolf represents the nations of the world, and we're the peaceful little lamb, and no one's going to be bothering us. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that literally the nature is going to change, and that the wolf is no longer going to attack the lamb. Says the Ravid, how could you say that? V'alo b'toraksiv v'shpati chayra min ha'aretz. How could you say that? It says in the Torah that all evil chayos, wild beasts, are going to be removed from the land. So Frek the Ravid, how could you say everything is mashal l'chida? It says that way b'ferish, that all the wild beasts are going to be removed from the land. So everyone asks on the Ravid, what are you talking about? The Rambam just explained. All of those psukim are meant as a mashal l'chida. Is it so hard to imagine what the mashal might be of ishbati chayra min haaretz? It's obvious what it means. It means that the Ahmadinejads and all the evil people in the world are going to be gone. That's all it means. It doesn't mean anything that's completely unnatural. So Rav Reuven Margolios, in one of his svarim, has a beautiful explanation of the Ravid. He says, no, there is a concept in Chumash, they didn't ain't a mikra yotzi midei pshuto. In Nach, there's no such concept. In Nach, very often, pashup shat is a mashal. That's the way the Nevi'im spoke. They spoke in Mishalim. But in Chumash, ain't a mikra yotzi midei pshuto. He says, it's meduyik in the Ravid. The Rambam started saying, yeah, gar zevim keves, psukim from Navi, don't worry, that's a mashal, v'chida, Frek the Ravid, Vahalo, he doesn't say Vahalo Ksiv, he says Vahalo Bitora Ksiv, Vishpati Chayara Minaretz. That's fine for Pesukim and Navi, but what are you going to do with the Pesuk in the Torah? It says in the Torah Vishpati Chayara Minaretz, and that must mean Pashup Shat. So that seems to be Machlokas Rambam Ravid, the way Rav Reuven Margolios understands it, is whether Pashup Shat in a Pesuk in the Torah could be a Mashal. Is there such a thing as Pshuto Shal Mikra being a mashal? Or does pshuto shel mikra have to be what the taich of the words sounds like it's saying? Okay, but that's a little bit off topic over here. Again, there's just this idea that when we talk about Lasa Lavo, where we talk about Olam Haba, we're really referring to Yemos HaMashiach, where nature doesn't change. Bottom line, what do we need this price for? Says Gemara, Ketani Miyas, Shebchil Lemeskalka L'Shem Asr Shvatim, Shmamina, L'Shvatim Yifluk Shmamina. It says initially it was divided amongst, what? Doesn't say divided amongst 600,000 Jews. It says divided amongst 12 Shvatim. So you see that the division was divided evenly amongst Shvatim, and then within the Shvatim, once each Shevet got an even portion, within the Shvatim was subdivided. So if you were part of a Shevet that was more densely populated, you got a smaller piece of land. If you were part of a Shevet that was more lightly populated, you got a larger piece of land. Fine, that is our Raya. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar, Asida Eretz Yisrael shel tischalik l'shoshas or Shvatim. We said that Eretz Yisrael ultimately is going to be divided amongst 13 Shvatim. Idoch l'man, who gets the extra portion? Right, we said 12 Shvatim. Who's the 13th Shevet? So says Tosos, you should realize, says Avagav Duchsiv Shar Levi Echad. Maybe you'll say, well, Levi's the extra Shevet, because it says in the Pasuk, when it's talking about Lasa Lavo, it says Shar Ruven Echad, Shar Yehud Echad, Shar Levi Echad, and we know Levi didn't get a portion the first time around, so maybe it's an easy answer. Levi's the one that got the extra portion. Says Tosos, that can't be, because Haksiv Nami Shar Yosef Echad. To Lo Manu Shevet Yosef Elaka Echad. Because in that same pasuk it says Shar Yosef Echad, that Yosef only counts as one. That Yosef should count as two. The first time around he counted as two. There's Menashe and Ephraim. So Elamai, you see what? That Yosef's going to be combined into one, and that's what's going to compensate for Levi. So we should still be left with 12. And that's why the Gemara is asking where the 13th is coming from. Right? But you do see this idea that Levi ultimately is going to get a chelek in the Nachal, and the Minchas Chinuch has the following kasha. Minchas Chinuch and Rav Elchanan also in Kovet Shurim in Os Shin Ayin, they ask the following kasha: how can Tosfos say that Las and Lavo, you're going to change two mefurishal lavin in the Torah? We're going to violate two los ases in the Torah. Number one, lo yia la kohanim alavim kol shevet Levi chelek v'nachla im Yisrael, that shevet Levi is not supposed to get a nachla in Yisrael. And furthermore, it says v'nachla lo yihia lo bekerav echav. Right, two losa says that tell us that Levi is not supposed to get a nachla. And the Gemara Megillah, we know the Gemara Megillah tells us in Daf What is it? Daf Beis, I think it is. The Gemara Megillah tells us, Eila mitzvos ein Navi rashai lechadish davar. That a Navi is not allowed to be mechadish something, that he's not allowed to change what it says in the Torah. So how could it be that Yecheskel has a nevuah of changing what it says in the Torah? That it says in the Torah, Levi's not supposed to get a nachla. And don't tell me Hora Hashah, because it's going to be like that. It's a nachla we're talking about. We're talking about something he's going to have forever. So what are you talking about? How could it be that we violate what's mefurish in the Torah? It says mefurish in the Torah, not that way. That Levi's not allowed to get a nachla in Eretz Yisrael. So over here in the Biri Adaf, he quotes from the Shiurei Rabbi David. I assume it's the Shiurei Rabbi David Pavarsky, that the geder of the Isser is not an Isser of giving Levi a nachla. It's that Levi's not allowed to get a nachla she'ina shalom. He's not allowed to take a nachla from what's not his. And Las Lava will make sure that he does have something to take. So therefore, there's no lav. So he's going to take what's shaykh to him. He's not going to take that which is not his. He's going to take that which actually belongs to him. So that's how Rabbi David Pavarsky suggests. But the kasha seems a little bit stronger than the teretz. But anyway, back to the Gemara. Idach Laman. So who gets this extra portion? Amar Rav Chisdal Nasi. The Nasi. Who's the Nasi? Rashbam says, Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach gets it. Where do we get that from? Dechsiv, va'ovid ha'ir yavdu, mikol shiftei Yisrael. The great worker is going to have kol shiftei Yisrael be ovid him. And what does that mean? That they each have to contribute a little bit so that he can get a portion of Eretz Yisrael. That the Melech HaMashiach is called the great worker. He works on behalf of the klal. Amar le Rav Papa Abaye, Ema Rugner Bialma. How do you know that that means they give him land? Maybe it means they give him manpower. They give him people to work for him. Everyone contributes a couple of people to work in his cabinet or to work in, you know, for whatever he needs. So lo salkadai tachtachsiv. No, we know it must mean land because the pasuk says vanosel nasi mizel mizel uchumas hakodesh ulachuzas ha'ir. Clearly referring to land. Fine. Then the Bryce had said, again, we're just trying to explain this Bryce that we quoted, which we only quoted to make it clear that Lishvatim Nischalka, but once we quoted the Bryce, we want to clarify each line of the Bryce. So the Bryce went on and said, V'lo Nischalka elu l'ksafim, that the land was divided monetarily. Shnemar ben Rav Lama'at. So Lamai, what does that mean, l'ksafim? What does that mean? Ilem l'shufra v'sanya. So maybe you're going to tell me that there were some better portions and worse portions. And if you got a better portion, you had to pay off the people who got a worse portion of land. So frankly, Gemara, atu b'shuftani askinan. We're dealing with total idiots. Who would do that? This is not a one-time deal where, okay, so I get a little bit worse. You know, tomorrow maybe I'll get better. This is forever. This is your nachla for your shevet, for your family, forever and ever. So what fool is going to say, okay, pay me a couple bucks, it's fine, I'll take the lesser one. There's no amount of money that can really compensate for that. So, Ella l'krova ruchoka. No, it means that which is closer and that which is more distant. If you got lucky enough to be closer, so then you have to pay off the people who got a piece of land that was just as good, but was a little bit further away. Further away from what? Says Rashbam, rachok mirushalayim. That if you're further away from Yerushalayim, that's bad. Why is it bad? Sha'rachok ruahu mipnei shnei dvarim, says Rashbam five lines before the end of the page. Rachok is bad for two reasons. Echad mipnei sha'rachok beis hamikdash. Number one, it's far from the beis hamikdash. Ve'echad mipnei sha'karuf hu la'aretz ha'am v'yesh lidug mehen. And number two, you're closer to our enemies. You're closer to the Eretz Ha'amim, and therefore you always have to be on the lookout. You always have to be worried about being attacked. So therefore, it's worse on those two levels. That's why that's what it means by karov and rachok from Yerushalayim. Now the kasha that everyone asks, some sofer asks, the kasha and the tshuva. Some sofer has a fascinating tshuva in Or Chaim Simon Chav Tes, where he was asked about there was a shul that did construction and they used to have X amount of seats on the Mizrach Vant, let's say whatever it is. Take a number, five seats on the Mizrach Vant. Then they did construction, and it was a wider Mizrach wall. Not every shul has such a wide Mizrach Vant as us, but it's not really Mizrach. But anyway, they went on to 15 seats on the Mizrach Vant. So the guys who were there originally, they said, okay, obviously we're staying, but we want the seats that are closest to the Aron. And the guys who, the big donors who paid for the expansion, who are now getting seats on the Mizrach Vant, they wanted the seats closer to the Aron. They said, well, you weren't muksuk to have a seat there. You weren't muksuk to be closer to the Aron. So the Chassam Sofer has a fascinating analysis. In that analysis, he asks, what are we talking about closer to Yerushalayim? Chassid Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim wasn't decided to be, it wasn't revealed to be the place, the capital where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built until the days of David HaMelech. Right, the Garden of Arvana Hayivusi. That's where Yerushalayim first was revealed. Right, when David had to purchase the Garden. But prior to that, look in all of Torah. It doesn't appear. We don't know where Yerushalayim is going to be. It's a good kasha. One of the big kashas in Tanakh is why the Torah never mentions Yerushalayim. Something that's so central is one of the big kashas that the Muslims ask us. That if it's so central in Judaism, where is it in Chumash? Right, so it's a very, very strong kasha, but it's not mentioned. So even closer to Yerushalayim, Adrav says Chassam Sofer, no, the chalukah was lufi merchak and kurva teshilo. That's where they set up the Mishkan, and it's where they set up the Mishkan. It's based on how close and far you are from Shiloh. That's how you would have to compensate. And then he says, 400 years later, when the Beis Hamikdash was built in Yerushalayim, those that were karov to the Mikdash had to pay back. Those that were further from the Mikdash, they had to repay, they had to... So you see where he's going with this, right? You start out being close to one holy place, but then everything changes and the Aron is a little bit in a different spot. So it's about compensating based on where you are, that maybe you do have a right to stay where you are, right? But you have to compensate. But anyway, so that's the analysis he brings in. It really shows you the godless of a posik like that, to be asked that such a shayla and say, ah, but Basra Kuf Chaf Beis, of course. Right, it's unbelievable. It's really phenomenal. But anyway, so El Kravu Ruchalka. So that's how they would decide these things. So Kitanai, Rabbi Lazar Omer B'Ksafim Elua, Rabbi Shua Omer B'Karka Elua, V'Lonoschalka El B'Garl Shnemar Ach B'Garl. In fact, that's a machlokas Tanaim, whether they would actually pay each other back with money or with Karka. Fine, Tana Ach B'Garl Yatzi Yoshua V'Kalev. So ach begorel, as opposed to Yeshua and Kalev, who did not get with a gorel. Lamai, what does that mean? Ilim de lo shakel klal, if you mean to say they didn't get any land, hashta de lav de tu shakel de tu mi bai. So what, they even got land that didn't belong to them. We said before that they got the chelik of the meraglim. So you need to even tell me that they got their own land? Of course they got their own land. Now the point is, they didn't need a gorel. They got al pi Hashem. They didn't require a gorel. Yeshua dechsev, Al pi Hashem nasun lo esheir asher shal es timna serach b'har Ephraim. Yeshua says beferish that it was al pi Hashem he got the land b'har Ephraim. And ksiv serach, just once we mentioned the name, the land that he got, the pasuk calls it serach uksiv cheres, and the pasuk also calls it cheres. So which is it? Is it called serach or is it called cheres? Some Rav Lazar b'tchila perusa k'cheres l'besof perusa k'masrichin. The Gemara seems to assume that it's called neither. Each is a description of the fruits. That previously, the fruits were like cheres in a way that before Yoshua got them, they were dry, they were bad, they were not good fruits. And then they were masrichin. Masrichin normally is a bad thing. Normally masrich means something spoils, it rots. But when does something rot? When it's very juicy and it's very, right, if you have a hard fruit, it doesn't rot that quickly. But if you have very juicy fruit that if you don't eat it right away, it's going to turn bad soon. So that's the most delicious fruit. So it's actually a good thing, Rashbam understands, that once Yeshua got it, then, the perusel masrichin, then it had these delicious, juicy fruits. V'ika da'amri, and others say, no, b'tchila masrichin l'basav kecheres. The other way around. Again, it's a good thing, but that previously, before Yeshua got it was masriach, the fruits were so easily spoiled. After he got it, they would last much longer. It's a question of what's better, right? Different people have different tastes in fruits. Some people like to buy the hard fruits, some people like to buy the softer fruits that are ready to be eaten right away. Anyway, either way, Rashi in Sefer Yeshua says that the real name of the city was Timnas Serach, and was called Timnas Cheres. Rashi says two things. First of all, it was called Timnas Cheres, unbelievable, he says, because they made a picture of the sun on the kever of Yeshua as a way of telling people who passed by that this is the guy who made the sun stand still. And anyone who would pass by would say, wow, a tzaddik really lies here. This is some chaval on such a person who's been lost to us, someone who did such a davar gadol that he made the sun stand still. It sounds unbelievable to us. It sounds like almost like a not-Jewish thing to put a picture of a sun on the kever, right? But that's how Rashi says in Sefer Yoshua, that they actually put a picture of a sun. I once got a shayla. Someone asked me, you know, pictures in general on a kever, we don't really do so much, except for hands by a kohen, right? So someone asked me once if he said his great aunt died and she didn't have any children, I don't think, but she really loved owls. and they wanted to put a picture of an owl on the kever. Is there any halachic problem with it? So, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so I immediately sent it to my brother. I said, you think only in California you get the funny shaylas? Right? Here in New York we get some interesting ones too. Then Rashi in Yoshua says another pshat. He says it could also be Timnas Cheres, and it was called Timnas Serach. The real name was Cheres. It was called Serach because the Peroseh were Masrichin. Marsha points out neither of those pshatim are like our Gemara. Our Gemara assumes there was no real name. Neither of these names are the real name. They're both something about the Peros. Rashi assumes one of them must be the Iker name. Okay, so that's how we know Yeshua got al pi Hashem. Kalev, d'chsev, v'yitnu l'kalev v'schevron kasher dibre Moshe v'yorosh mishamesh shlosh b'nei Anak. Fine, he got the land that Moshe promised him. Chevron near Miklat, Avai. Frekhtemar, how could Kalev get Chevron? It was near Miklat. Amar Avai parvaraha. He got the suburbs of Chevron. D'chsev estei ir v'eschatzereha noson l'kalev ben yifuna bal chuzaso. But not Chevron proper. Fine, says the Mishnah. Echra ben vechra bas benachla. Both the son and the daughter receive Yerusha. Difference is, Elisha ben notal pishnayim benichseya avin, notal pishnayim benichseya aim. The son gets a pishnayim in his father's inheritance, but not a pishnayim in his mother's inheritance. So right away, it's incongruous, right? We start out by saying that a ben and a bas are similar, so you think the Ella is going to be a difference between a ben and a bas. But what's the Ella a difference between? Mother and father, not ben and bas. So the Gemara is going to deal with that right away. Vabonos nizonos minichsei avin nizonos minichsei aim. And daughters receive mizonos from their father's nechassim, meaning if the father dies and leaves very little nechassim, that nechassim goes to feed the daughters before the sons get any Yerusha. If he leaves nechassim Arubim, the sons get all the nechassim, but they have to go and take from the father's nechassim to support the daughters, to support their sisters. But this din of mizonos does not apply b'nichsei ha'em. It's only b'nichsei ha'av. So it tells us two chilukim between nichsei ha'em and nichsei ha'av after it told us that echla ben vechla bas b'nachla, that both a son and a daughter receive Nachlas. Says Gemara, "May echle ben vechle bas benachla." What does it mean, echle ben vechle bas lenachla? Ile midiati ki adadi yatnan ben kodem lebas kol yetsirechushu ben kodem lebas. If you want to tell me that they receive Yerusha together, that they'll both receive Yerusha, it's not true. We know a son comes before a daughter, and all descendants of a son come before a daughter. Even if a son had only daughters, his daughters come before the sisters, right? All descendants of a son come before a daughter. So that can't be. So the Gemara is going to have four pshat in what's going on over here. Number one. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Achikamar, Echla ben Vechla bas notan baroi kibumuchzuk. Both the son and the daughter receive baroi kibumuchzuk. If their father, I just spoke to my grandfather yesterday. He asked me the shayla, right? He's learning the daf. So he said, if a man dies, if Yaakov has a son Reuven and Reuven dies, do Reuven's kids get the pishnayim that Reuven was entitled to? So says the Gemara, yes, both Reuven's sons. And if he doesn't have sons, his daughters get the pishnayim. So says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is teaching me, problem is Hanami Tanina. We already learned that. That we already learned that they got that the Benot Slavchad got the Barai Kibumuchzak. So what's the Chiddush? Va'on my Ella, and it also doesn't explain the Ella in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah seems to shift gears from talking about a son and a daughter to talking about a father and mother. Now it happens to be that the second and third pshat don't either address the Ella, and we're going to suggest them anyway, Rishbam points out, but be that as it may. Second pshat, Ella Amrav Papa Achikam, Rechel Ben Vechel Bas Noten Chelik B'Bechora. They each get, both the son and the daughter get a Chelik B'Bechora. So Hanami Tanim, we learned that, Shai B'Chor Notel Shnei Chalakim, that a B'Chor gets two Chalakim. Va'od, my Ella. And also, what's the Ella? So you don't want to repeat Mishnayos we already had. Plus, the Ella is still not explained. So third pshat, Ella Ravashi Hachikamar, Echad ben bein abanim ve'echad bas bein abanos. Whether it's a son amongst other sons or a daughter amongst other daughters, im amar yirash kal nichsei dvarav kayamin. If let's say the father says, I want this son to get everything, or I want this daughter amongst the other daughters to get everything, so then that works. So command krat, meaning you're not allowed to be mavir nachla to someone who's not roy to be yoresh. I mean, if you have sons and daughters, you can't say, I want my daughter to get everything, right? But if someone who's in line to be yoresh, you can do that. So command krat, Rabbi Yochum ben Broka, that assumes like Rabbi Yochum ben Broka. Ketani lel kaman, Rabbi Yochum ben Broka omer, imamra al misha roy liyosha, dvar of kayamun. We already have Rabbi Yochum ben Broka, says it beferish later on, that dvar of kayamun, al misha ain't a roy liyosha, ain't dvar of kayamun. If you say it about someone who's not in line to get a Yerusha, so then it doesn't work. So Even to say, no, Rebbe's trying to tell us that we passed like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka by making a Stam Mishnah like him. Problem is, it's a Stam Vachach Machlokas, so we don't pass like the Stam anyway. If you wanted to pass him by making a Stam Mishnah like him, you should have made the Stam Mishnah later, after the Machlokas. Va'od Mayela, and still we haven't addressed Ella. So finally, the fourth answer, which really addresses the Ella, Ella Mar Baravashi, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say, Echla Ben Vechla Bas Shavin Benichse Aim Ubenichse Av. Both the son and the daughter are equal in that they both receive Yerusha from the mother, they both receive Yerusha from the father. But the difference is, the son gets Pishnayim Benichse Av, not Pishnayim Benichse Aim. So Echla Ben Vechla Bas was not only about a son and a daughter, it was also about a mother and a father, and therefore it's consistent when the Mishnah then goes and is mechalik between what a son gets from his father and what a son gets from his mother.